bless everybody.
Amen.
I hope everybody's doing okay.
Yes.
This morning. Just for the record, I'm not going to Afghanistan for 3 years.
No. Just 3 months.
Or Iraq or anything.
Just 3 months.
Lady messed up my haircut, so.
Yeah. Sure.
There's nothing I
can
do.
A woman cut your hair.
And the thing was, it was a man's barber shop. The name of the place is the man's place.
Man's room.
Man's room. And it's all women in there that are cutting their hair.
Okie dokie then. I'd be scared walking that door.
But it smells like man. Everything's manly. I mean, they got deer antlers coming from the wall and everything. But it was all women cutting your hair.
So she thought you needed that haircut.
Well, I was wanting to go for a fade, but not this much of a fade. And she, I showed her a picture, and she's like, "Well, we can do something similar." And then, but when she was doing it, I'm like, I was thinking, "Oh, she's going with what the picture's doing." By the time I looked in the mirror, she had already gone too low.
And it'll grow back, praise the Lord.
Everything happens for a reason.
Everything does.
All right. 9:49.
All right, let's continue with speaking about the kingdom of God. And also, I wanted to apologize lately. The last two services, or the last two Sunday school lessons, I've been saying 3, 2, 1, 1, 2, 3. What is bothering me, and some people just, because I use the word heck. So that's not. I just to me, it wasn't anything bad, but I know it could be bad for some people. So I just wanted to apologize for that. So maybe it's better to use "when the world is bothering me." All right. So we're speaking about the kingdom of God, and we were reading this last Sunday. This is where we kind of stopped at. We read Romans chapter 14, and so the kingdom of God. So we're speaking about is the kingdom of God external? Because we know it's not an external thing, even though people make it out to be an external thing, right? That's all the kingdom of God is. So we read Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Mm-hmm. These are external things. Yeah. Your flesh, your body needs meat and drink, right? But that's not all what the kingdom of God is just about. It's not meat and drink or physical things, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
That's the key point. Because without the Holy Ghost, there's no kingdom of God.
That's right.
Not for without the Holy Ghost, there's no peace, there's no joy, there's no true joy and peace and righteousness. It's all temporary. And how many of us, you know, we get caught up, and you get caught up with the things of this world, and you think, this will give me pleasure, this will give me pleasure, this will give me pleasure, and it's only temporary.
Yes.
So, all right. So, let's read these quotes Brother Branham said in the message, The Token. God's blood-bound promises makes us free from sin and shame and different from the rest of the world. You don't have to dress different. Anybody can dress different. You have to be on the inside different. The life is on the inside, not dressing, wearing. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink or wearing of apparel, but it's the long-suffering, goodness, generous patience in the Holy Ghost. So, clearly, Brother Branham didn't think it was all about hair and dress and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of people in the message make it out to be. That's part of it. But the thing is that you don't have to tell a true born-again Christian, a sister or a brother, for that sake, to dress properly. The Holy Ghost in them will teach him how to. Because he's all about modesty, right?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. That's why we differ with the Baptist method of so-called Calvinistic thinking people. But Calvinism's right. Then we're going to come over on the Armenian side. What did they get? Works. What's the holiness group's works? Bless God, I'll let my hair grow out. The women, and oh, praise God, I won't even wear a short sleeve shirt. The man will, and so forth like that. That has nothing to do with the kingdom, as Abraham says. No, sir. You can let your hair grow long. You can wear dresses, whatever you want to. Or you can do this, that, or the other, and it won't have nothing at all to do with it. You're not saved because of your clothes. If so, God would just have made some patterns of such.
Right.
Everybody would just, Brother Dale would just give out patterns for everybody to dress exactly alike. And then, that's not.
Yeah.
Jesus wouldn't have had to die if it was all about dressing and long hair and all that. Right? You're saved because that God saved you by grace. And you do these things just in appreciation.
Amen.
Common decency will tell you that. You do those things in appreciation. Amen. That's a pretty clear quote there. All right. So now we're going to speak about being not far from the kingdom of God. Now this is not exactly in the kingdom of God, but you're not far from the kingdom of God. And we'll read here Mark chapter 12. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Mm-hmm. And Jesus answered and said, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Mm-hmm. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how annoying your neighbor is.
Brother kind.
And I'm not talking about just your next door neighbor. I'm talking about your neighbor at church.
Yeah.
There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth. Now watch him. This is why he replies. And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth. So he was agreeing with the word, right? For there is one God, and there is none other but He. So he wasn't disputing what Jesus was saying was correct. He was agreeing with what Jesus was saying. Jesus being the Word. He was agreeing with the Word, right? And Jesus bringing the Word, agreeing with the Word, it was all there. So, in verse 33, and to love Him with all the heart, and He continues adding to this, the scribe, and to love Him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.
Right.
And watch what Jesus replies. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Amen. Now he wasn't in the kingdom of God, right?
Right.
They had the scribes. The scribes knew the letter back and forth. I mean, they knew it really well. But that wasn't part of the kingdom, although a lot of them would think, you know, I know this word, I know this by the letter, but it's not about just knowing the letter. It's about knowing the life, amen, behind the letter, amen. And so Jesus answered him because he agreed with that word, you know, and he said, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. He didn't take the attitude like a lot of the other Pharisees and the people who would contradict Jesus, you know, and who was against Jesus. He saw that this man had a contrite, you know, type of spirit, you know, like a more humble type of spirit. He said, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Now, Brother Branham says here, look, I know this is kind of long, but just bear with me. And the little nurse came into the bedside where I was reading the Bible, and she was a new nurse on the floor. And she said, how do you do? She said, I believe that you're Reverend Branham. Here for a physical checkup. I said, I am. And she said, may I rub your back and make you feel a little better with the alcohol? And I said, you may do it. And while she was rubbing on my back, she said, what denomination of church do you belong to? Now, people probably already stumbled with just reading that first part. But Brother Brandon knew where he was standing. He took it as she's a nurse, you know. I won't let it. There's a woman, you know. But that's fine. That's okay. Again, remember, what's bad for you may not be bad for another brother or sister.
Right.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying? Brother Bradley knew where he was standing.
Right?
Alright. I just wanted to point that out, take that back to what we were talking about last Sunday. And while she was rubbing my back, she said, what denomination of church do you belong to? And said, oh, I belong to the oldest denomination there is. And she said, what denomination is that? I said, it's the one that was organized before the world was ever organized.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she said, what? I don't know. I don't believe I know just that. She said, I belong to a certain church. Is that organization? I said, no, ma'am. That was only about 200 years ago, that organization. But this organization was started when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy. When they seen the coming of a Savior to redeem mankind,
mm-hmm.
and she just stopped rubbing my back, and I was stopped a little over this way so the lady could rub, and she was from near Corden down here, and we got to talking, and she said, sir, Now listen how she replies. Sir, I've always believed that if God was ever God, He's still God today, just like He was in the old days. She said, though my church flatly denies that, but I believe that is the truth. Amen. Now compare to what that scribe replied to Jesus. You see, she was agreeing with what Brother Branham was saying. And Brother Branham says, and I said, you're not far from the kingdom of God, young woman. She said, if He ever was a healer, isn't He still a healer? I said, He most certainly is, my sister. So, I'm just showing you these, that your approach to the Word shows, I mean, a sinner out here, the way he approaches the Word, determines how close he is or she to the kingdom of God. You know? Yes, it's very important, your attitude towards the Word. Yes, bless God, I don't believe that. Well, there's no blessing for you then.
Right. Right.
You're not close to the kingdom of God.
Right.
And you just stomp out. Another example, the day after our meetings in Phoenix, there's a little lady came up and said, Brother Branham, since the meeting said, I let my hair grow. I said, you're not far from the kingdom now. She said, my sister had a wheelbarrow full of these shorts and things. She was going to throw them in the garbage can, and the next sister come along and got them and said she was finished with those things. I said, that's all right. I believe the church will come back to its feet someday. If it keeps going like that, it'll get all right. I met a man not long ago that said, why don't you leave off those women? Said, well, I don't know. He said, people regard you as a prophet. I said, I'm not. He said, but they regard you that. Why don't you teach them deep things, how to receive deep spiritual gifts? I said, how can you teach them out there when they won't believe their ABCs? You know what ABC stands for? All right, that's the first ABCs. Let's them learn how to do, and we'll teach them something a little different, you know? And so when we get that, why, we're coming pretty close to the kingdom. So there's a sister here that, because she saw something, right, and she wanted to get closer, amen, to the Lord. She did something. It might not have been the new birth.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? But because she said, Brother Branham, I was convicted by that, and I let my hair grow out. He said, amen. So you're not far from the kingdom. But that's not the new birth.
Right.
That doesn't mean that the sister was saved.
Right.
But she might have still needed the new birth, but she was not far from the kingdom. And that's one here. Now, on not a day, a latter day, I'm just your brother. I don't care whether you're first rain, second rain, middle rain, all rain, or no rain. It don't make a difference to me. I love you just the same, and we are brothers. He said, well said. All this big church said our best members went over there. I said, they did. I said, what'd they go for? I said, that man came over and pulled them away. All right, let's see. Let's go. Let's skip down. Now, that's right. I don't care if he don't know his ABCs or split peas from coffee. Let me tell you, brother, as long as he knows Jesus Christ, he may talk through his nose and holler. And now, here he was speaking to a brother. And this is what he was telling us. I'd rather have that than all the PhDs of denominational person and everything else. I want to know God and the power of His resurrection. That's right. He said, I guess you're about right. This is what the person replied back to Brother Branham. So Brother Branham said, you're not far from the kingdom now. Amen. Alright. So you can be close to the kingdom, but not in the kingdom. Or in this case, it's the kingdom of God in you. You see? And it's so easy for us as humans, you know, to think that because this is happening in my life, or that I'm going through this, that I must be in the kingdom. I must be in the kingdom, but you have to be born by the Word and the Spirit. Amen. Praise God. Now, we know Brother Dale, he's been speaking about the new birth. So how do you enter into this kingdom? John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now, you take the attitude that Nicodemus had towards Jesus. Could you say that he was close to the kingdom of God? I believe he was. Standing right in front of the kingdom, absolutely. Because of the way he was approached, I mean, he said, no man can do this miracle unless God be with him, right?
That's right.
And Jesus answered and said unto him, he said, you know, he kind of didn't regard what he said that right there, but he said, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And when you look at that word see, it means to understand. There's different. I meant to put them here on the slide, but different definitions for it and things are very interesting. To see, to understand, to have expounded to you, you know, just different things. So, except a man be born again. Yeah. Amen. So without the new birth, you can't even understand the Word of God.
That's right.
No, that's right. Amen.
You can probe at it. You can put this scripture here with this scripture here, and you may understand it intellectually. And I've always said this: Malachi 4 came, you know, not to turn the heads, but to turn the hearts.
Right.
A lot of people have had their heads turned, but not their hearts. That's the reason why you see people leaving.
Right.
Their head, they, all this intellectual. You know, things that, you know, you can know this message intellectually and you can know the Word of God intellectually, but that has nothing to do with the new birth.
Amen.
It's got to be a revelation.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's got to be a revelation to you. You know, when I came to the Lord and when I came to this message, and I really appreciate, you know, the series that Brother Dale's been bringing upstairs, because it's let me, I don't know about you, but it's let me look at my life, at what I've experienced in the last 15, 20, almost 20 years that I've been in this message.
Right.
And kind of pinpoint where I was born again,
mm-hmm.
where my salvation took
right.
place
mm-hmm.
before
exactly.
I reached the stature of the perfect man.
Exactly.
And I had never, I knew that I experienced those things,
mm-hmm.
but I never could pinpoint it till Brother Dale. And I just thank God for that. I don't know about you. You might think, oh, Brother Dale, is, you know, it's just boring, we're done, you know.
Mm-hmm.
To a believer, that's not born.
That's right. Amen.
To a believer, that's not born at all. Give me more. I want more of that kingdom.
Amen.
Amen. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? So Nicodemus is thinking that he's talking about natural things. Can he enter into the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now up here he says, man cannot even see the kingdom of God. Here he's talking about cannot even enter into the kingdom of God. Right? That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Amen. Praise God. So Jesus made it clear that in order for you to even see or enter the kingdom of God, you must be born again.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I know we know all these things. But sometimes in our human thinking, we think we could just kind of bypass some things. Just kind of take shortcuts, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't work that way.
Right.
Amen. Praise God. Does anybody have any questions or anything before we continue?
I just have a question. Is the only revelation that a sinner can get is that he is a sinner and he needs to be born again? Can a sinner
I don't think
it?
So.
Is that considered a revelation?
I mean, yeah.
That he needs to be born again.
I believe so, yeah. I mean, especially if you... I mean, because what the new birth, it can be different for everybody. You see? It has to be by the Word.
Right.
But a specific revelation that was specific to you. You see? So, you know, I believe I was born again in Colombia, South America, reading the message, Christ the Mystery of God Revealed. And I believe that was the beginning of my new birth. And but then to other people, and then, of course, you know, to other people who came through Pentecost, you know, their new birth was a physical experience. Right?
Right.
Yeah, by the way.
I think what she's trying to say is, can a person get a revelation if you're not saved, if you're not born again? You can get a knowledge. Because at 14 years old, I had a knowledge of, like Brother Brown said, it was just
you could read and see that it wasn't an apple. You could read and see that it wasn't Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism. But a true revelation is, though, when it takes that and it's like that Roman candle, instead of just saying, you know, we just be a people. God sent a prophet, no eternal hell, no Father, you know, that's just a repeat of what you read physically. But when I was born again in 98, all that came alive. It wasn't dead letter anymore, because what it was doing, even though I realized what it was condemning me.
Yeah.
Right? It was condemning me. This is what was condemning me. But the true revelation, when I got the new birth, the true revelation came is what I had held all those years. Came right back up, just like the disciples. Mm-hmm. They listened to what Jesus said. Now, they weren't privy to have a book to have it in. They just had to go by their memory of what they heard for 3.5 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they were sinners. Mm-hmm. But on that day of Pentecost, when God saved their soul, changed them, all that came back up.
Right, right.
The word that was on the page came alive.
Right.
Now that was a revelation. Mm-hmm. So you can have a knowledge and be a sinner. That's what's happening now with these people that are been preaching the message for 30 years.
Right.
And then deny it and just say it was wrong and say all the bad things. Now, they couldn't have been born again. Now, they could have been in a sanctified condition and had a Holy Ghost anointing. That's what we have to worry about now. We have to worry about an anointing. You can feel an anointing and think you're born again. Yes, even sir. Brother Branham warned us about it. But anointing ones at the end time is the true anointing of the Holy Ghost. Well, now, the anointing of the Holy Ghost will help you preach the Word. Mm-hmm. But you're dead inside.
It'll always agree with the Word.
That's right. But then people that go off, they were sinners. They're sinners now. If it wasn't, they're sinners now.
Yeah.
They let that unclean spirit go out and then come right back. Make them religious, but somewhere down the line, like Brother Dale knows, that somewhere down the line, you're going to meet that one checkpoint that you can't get through.
Right.
And when you don't meet that checkpoint, then they go off and don't just go into false doctrine. They completely deny the message and go off and, you know, out in the world and whatever right. else. So,
right.
You know one thing for sure, they didn't have that kingdom in their soul.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They might have walked close like Nicodemus, you know.
Sure.
And Jesus may have said, you're not far from the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
But now that didn't mean he was born again.
Right.
Who was it when Paul went up against, what was his name? When he, the one that says, you almost convert me, Paul?
Agrippa.
See, Agrippa was a Jew. Paul knew that, so he addressed Agrippa. Agrippa was a Jew. He knew all the Jewish tradition. Right. And then when Paul expounded on what God had done for him, Agrippa said, well, you almost convert me, Paul. Well, you know, Paul could have said, you're not far from the kingdom. Why? Because he did everything the Jewish people told him to, you know, the tradition told him to do. And that's the way we are. We're just traditionalists until we get born again.
Absolutely.
We just have a tradition. A message tradition. Long hair, like you just said, long hair and long dress. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. So a sinner cannot read the Word and get a revelation, but a sinner can read the Word and get an anointing. But until they're born again, they don't get a true, that Roman candle firing off revelation that all this comes together.
That's true. I appreciate you clearing that up real quick because no,
I didn't mean to take you.
No, you're all right. You're all right. You should come up here.
No, not my turn.
But no, because I mean, when you look at the disciples, when they went up and received that word that Jesus spoke to them, came alive there in the upper room. And then what did Peter start doing? Started putting word with word.
Right.
You know, putting the word together.
Right.
And not only that, but it gave them a boldness to go out. They were scared in the upper room.
Sure.
Yes, sir.
Some of them didn't even want to go out because they were afraid of the Jews outside of what they would do. Right. But then it gives you boldness. And so the new birth will change you.
Right.
Right?
That's right.
Yeah.
At the same time, I think a sinner, like you said, Brother Wade, can be sanctified.
Sure.
Can be, they can clean themselves up. There are some people out here in this world that have just as longer hair as some of them, and dress even nicer and more cleaner than. But you know, that doesn't mean that they have the new birth.
That's right.
They're just cleaned up sinners.
Right.
You know?
That's right.
So, absolutely.
Very, very clean looking.
Amen. All right. So, The word is both water and spirit, and we'll just touch on this here in just a moment. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Now this is going back to what Jesus said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. Right? The water and the Spirit is both the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's the word of God, right? Mm-hmm. And cleanse it with the washing of the water of the Word. Amen. John 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So Jesus clearly, you know, telling us that his words are spirit and they are life. And they were washed by the water. So wherever you see, a lot of places in the scripture where you see water and spirit, you know, wherever you see the water, you usually see the spirit there, or spirit and water are all tied together. Amen. Because you know, you look at a physical birth, you know, and there has to be water, mm-hmm. right? And that water, you know, when it breaks, that means a birth is taking place.
Right.
Well, my wife is looking at me right now. We had an experience with Bella. See. Christine, we decided to use a midwife for both of our children, and so it was real as real can get, you know. It was no, she wouldn't sleep, I wouldn't sleep, I was there helping, and when we got there to the birthing place, the lady, the midwife said, "All right, Luis, this thing's about to burst," and just as soon as she said that, boom, that water bursted. Got all over my arm and everything. I took a bath. So I know about this water.
messy bird, right?
It was a messy bird.
It's all right.
So, but yeah.
What shower you ever had?
It was warm.
Okay, move around a lot.
But you need to have both that water and that spirit.
That's right,
amen. That word needs to be there. And so when you have a physical birth, that water is there. It needs to burst. It needs to break open, amen, to give way up to the life,
right.
Amen. Once the baby is born,
right.
You see, once the baby comes out, then the breath of life can come into it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the actual birth is the birth, right?
Yeah.
That's the new birth, right?
No.
But then it's like Brother Dale says, you know, then the crying and all that takes place, the emotion, that can take place after. And then it's justified. It's good. Because I don't know of a Christian who hasn't received a new birth, that hasn't experienced an emotional time in their life.
Sure.
Doesn't necessarily mean that you spoke in tongues and prophesied and run around the church and all that. And all that is very good. And if the Lord deals with you that way, you need to continue having the Lord deal with you that
right.
way. Because it helps us, with some of us, starchy people.
Right.
And,
Amen.
But, you know, but I don't know of a Christian who hasn't got down to crying before the Lord. And asking and wanting to desire more of
sure.
God and,
right.
and not fully understand what's going on in his or her life and say, Lord, please explain to me and show me, you know, what it is and just crying and travailing for God,
mm-hmm.
right? But at the sinner, you know, the sinner just, you know, cries and all that too as he's asking the Lord to forgive him for
sure.
his sins.
That's flipping.
You see?
Yeah.
But that crying isn't the new birth, right?
Right.
Amen. So, John 6:64, okay, so Jesus continues saying, but there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore say unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Amen. Another place it said, no man can come to me unless the Father draws him first. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Now I wanted to leave this here because those disciples... See, Jesus had more than 12 disciples. He had 7.
Sure.
Okay. Right. Or more.
Right.
And all of them heard word.
Right.
Only 12 stayed with him.
Right.
after Jesus had preached to the people, if you don't drink my eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me. And these other 70, they thought this thing is too hard for us to understand, so they walked away from it.
Yeah.
And so, in verse 68, and Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. After Jesus had asked him, are you going to go too? And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So not just believe, but they were sure that he was the Christ. But that didn't say, that wasn't their...
No, that's right.
Make him be born again.
Right.
That's right.
That was confirmed in them in the upper room.
That's right.
I mean, that was really... Right. I mean, it was not just Jesus with them, but it was Jesus in them then.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you doesn't just have a devil, but mm-hmm. is a devil.
Right.
We know he's talking about Judas.
Right.
He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he was the one who should betray him, being one of the 12. Amen. So, these people right here, these 70 disciples, like message believers, they come mm-hmm. to the message and they'll be here 3, 5, 6, 7, 10 years, 15 years, mm-hmm. But then all of a sudden they just
they'll hear something
that you know that
somebody will say a little off or something. Somebody will say one thing. I've seen it 100 times.
Yeah.
You have to one phrase. Somebody gets up and preach something and they just can't get it. They leave.
Or they're looking for something.
Or they're looking for something.
Or they're looking for something, and just to give them an excuse. Because some people don't want to give up certain lifestyles, certain things in their life.
Sure.
And so they'll use something like this to justify, I'm going to continue this life. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Saints, the Word changes you from the inside out.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right.
You may still be struggling, right?
Right.
You may still be, because we're still in this flesh. We're still pressing, amen, into this kingdom, right?
Amen.
We're still pressing.
That's right.
Because this thing is not born again.
That's right.
But the desire of not wanting to is in you.
That's right.
Or whatever it is.
That's right.
It doesn't matter what you struggle with or what, you know, we all have some sort of besetting sin.
Yes.
Whether it's laziness or whatever it is.
That's right.
But the desire, God's already put that desire in you to not want to.
That's right.
And you're not looking, you're looking, when that minister's up there preaching, you're looking, you're saying, Lord, change me through your word. That's a desire of a Holy Ghost-filled Christian.
Right. Yes.
I want your word to change me. But the critic, the one who's just got mental knowledge, let me see what I can do to criticize,
right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
Brother Joey.
Brother Memorial was saying last night that was very sad about that preacher that shot himself and shot his wife.
Yeah.
That was very sad.
Yeah, that's a sad case. But, the Lord be the judge of those things.
That's right.
Amen. We have about 5 more minutes. All right. We'll finish with this one. Some more examples of word being the word being water. I just had to add these things in here. For Isaiah 55, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent. Amen. That word that was placed in the disciples, amen, those 3.5 years, amen, it came to fruition on the day of Pentecost.
Amen.
Right? And same thing, you know, I really believe that in my life, in my case, my wife, she grew up in the message, right? I did it. I experienced the world. I experienced denomination. Like I said, I went through 7 church ages of different churches. I know what the Catholics talk about. I've been in the Jehovah's Witness. I've been on all those things because I was with mom and dad, so I had to follow everything wherever they went.
You were drugged.
Yeah, I was drugged.
You were drugged.
Not because I'm Colombian.
That's right.
I was a different drug. But. And so the things that Brother Dale speaks about when he was in the Baptist church, I'm familiar with those things because I went through the Baptist church. I know what they believe. And I like what Brother Ernie said last night. And I think I heard him say that before. But that is so true. They believe in praying for the sick.
Yeah.
But they better not get well.
They don't believe in miracles. They believe
they don't believe in miracles. They do not believe in miracles. I mean, you go to a Baptist church, the church that I went to. Now, some Baptists, they believe in clapping your hands when you're singing and things like that. It's more of the free type Baptist, you know. But the church, Baptist church I went to, was a fundamental Baptist. They're tied in with Bob Jones University and all that, and they don't believe in, I mean, they, Blessed
Trinity.
We have
Trinity, Bob Jones University students up there.
What was that?
So we have Bob Jones University graduates up there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they sit there like just like that.
And so it was strange for me, you know, when I came to Pentecost, came into the message, to see things like this on the wall, people clapping their hands and being happy and shouting and things like that. It was all strange for me.
Sure.
And we thought, my goodness, these people are going straight to hell. You know,
they're going to be happy, though. They're going to be happy, though.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we thought. My mom and dad, and we thought, you know, but then as you start seeing things more clear in the Word, and you start seeing, you know, this is part of the kingdom. You know, the kingdom of God is not a starchy opera.
That's right.
Opera room, you know.
Exactly right.
You say you may not have emotion right now, but I believe you'll have emotion at some point.
Yeah.
You might as well just start getting happy now.
Amen.
Getting excited in the Word. I mean, because
that's right.
And I know Brother Dale. You know, he's used to, you know. And the way we minister the word here, it's in the teaching form, so we want to pay attention, we want to listen. But there's times where we should just let the Spirit just work.
Right. Amen. Be happy.
Because, I mean, there has to be a balance. I believe there has to be a balance, you know, not just so much starchiness. But there has to be a balance, you know.
Right.
If we could just bring that together, I mean, it'd be a super church.
That's right.
I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not trying to be critical, but I mean, you know, at the Baptist church, you get a little bit excited and people would just look back at you.
Yeah.
Yeah. The same thing in some message churches.
Yeah.
So, anyways, should we get going?
Get good. I'm not throwing anything at you.
All right. But, all right, so we'll just... We'll just leave it there. Anybody have anything to say or anything?
Yeah. Before we go, we got to do some scheduling adjustment. Brother Joe is going to be gone the first two Sundays in April. So, you want to do it? You, Aaron, first two Sundays in April.
Yes.
April the 1st, which is, you going to be here Easter Sunday?
As far as
that's right, you're part of the Easter crowd. Sunday, Easter.
What else?
The 1st and the 8th. I'm just kidding. The 1st and the 8th. And then you'll do the 15th and the 22nd.
Well, actually, we're coming back that second Sunday, which is what?
Well, we'll still...
The second Saturday.
Oh, you don't have to worry about it again.
Yeah,
that way you don't have to worry about if something does happen and you don't get back.
Well, 2 weeks is good enough for me.
Okay. All right, so you got the 15th and 22nd.
Okay.
And then I'll start after that again. I got something I want to bring to us.
All right.
Double duty. Okay, everybody got that?
Oh, bless you, by the way. Pulling that double
duty. It's all right. It's all right. No burning in my heart. Yeah, I'm not getting a haircut like that.